every resurrection they prepared us. We have our traditions of the infamous resurrection biscuits. We cook them and there's nothing on the inside. And you put the spice concoction on the outside, the cinnamon and the nutmeg and whatever else goes in it. You eat that biscuit and it's a reminder that the tomb was empty. But you had that fragrance where just a few days before Christ was anointed with this rare, precious spice. And then there's Keith Green. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing. Joy to the world is risen. Hallelujah. Don Francisco, he's alive. I'm going to give him heaven's dead's robe. So the best news we have this day and every day, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Matthew chapter 5. And when he saw the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor and pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of God. Blessed shall ye be when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake falsely. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Here Christ is describing the believer, his church. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is this forth quicker nothing to be cast out into the body under foot of men? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is standing still cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." The church in 2016 has major issues, major problems. We, as a church, are losing our flavor, and our light is going dim. There are many in the church who do not even have a biblical worldview. There are many in the church who do not believe the Bible to be the inerrant Word of God. There are many in the church who are more concerned with their interpretation of what the Bible says than what the Bible really says. Many in the church believe you have to earn your way to heaven. Many in the church believe that Jesus was a sinner like us. Why are we losing our flavor? And why is the light growing dim? Through the ages, the church has never been perfect. But there are those times when the church is truly salt and truly light. But I think what we have done as a church in the last several decades is we have tried to adapt the gospel of Christ to the world. We have tried to adapt the gospel of Christ to the world. And what we need to be doing, we need to be adapting the world to the gospel of Christ. We need to be adapting the world to the gospel of Christ. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Beautiful picture of the very early church. Verse 41, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So in one day's time, the church grew from a little group of about 120 people, staff of 12, small inner city church, to a congregation of 3,120 people in one day. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Fear came upon them. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, we got the phrase, continually devoting themselves. Now we have the phrase, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having faith with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So there are four things here in verse 42 that this very young church is continuing devoting themselves to. The first one, the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. And what was the apostles' teaching? Did they have what we have today? They had a big chunk of it. But they didn't have the New Testament written out. And what did we look at last week when Peter preached his sermon? What did Peter do? How did Peter teach? How did he preach? He took what? He took the prophets. He took the patriarchs. And he preached the Prince of Peace, Christ. So the apostles' teaching, they had the Old Testament. But they also had the seeds of the New Testament. For 3 years, they were taught by a master. And they had it. So this early church is continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. The risen Christ is what the apostles taught. And we come to this place, and we hear the teaching of the apostles. Our pastor takes this book and he preaches it to us. twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday night. We have the teaching of the apostles right here in this building. So the question is, are we continually devoted to it? Do we continually devote ourselves to what is preached in this place? Do we continually devote ourselves to what is taught in this place? Or do we just show up because it's Sunday? It's the thing to do. Get up and go to church. And it's a good habit to have. But in that process of being here, are we continually devoting ourselves to the teaching of the apostles? What about the other days of the week? Do we continually devote ourselves to the study, to the devouring of the Word of God? How much time do we spend? Are we sporadically devoting ourselves? Do we even devote ourselves sporadically? What do we do? They, in the early church, continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The second thing they did, verse 42, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Koinonia. Common bond. Do we have that here? Do we continually devote ourselves to fellowship? It's great to come here and be with you guys. It's great. It's a blessing. What about you and I? What does my fellowship involve when I'm not here in this building? Am I continually devoted to having that fellowship that we are commanded to have among ourselves? I cannot have fellowship with you guys if I do not first have fellowship with my Father. If I'm not fellowshipping with my Father, my Creator, all the time, I can't fellowship with you. We can try. But if we, as individual believers, in this body of the Dominion Baptist Church, if we fellowship with our Father first and make that the priority, and the fellowship amongst ourselves will take place. But I cannot fellowship with you if I do not first fellowship with my Father. The third thing they did in the early church that they continually devoted themselves to was breaking the bread. This phrase, the breaking of bread, Bible scholars interpret it differently. Something, it means just a meal. And the Jews, whenever they got together and ate, they called it break bread. Take the bread, you break it apart, you share it. But I think it also means the Lord's Supper. And this early church was just a few weeks removed from the actual Lord's Supper. It was fresh on the minds of the apostles. This is my body. This is my blood. They were actually sharing meals on a regular basis. And whenever they got together, they broke bread. Whether it was just sharing a meal together or sharing the Lord's Supper together. They were devoted to it. Whenever we have the Lord's Supper,
do we just kind of go through the motions because it's part of being churchy? Or do we devote ourselves to what it actually means? And on a daily basis, we need to constantly remind ourselves that His body was broken and His blood was shed for me. The early church continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Number four in verse 42, they continually devoted themselves to prayer. Corporate prayer, when they gathered together, individual prayer, when they were communing with God. What's my prayer like? Is it important enough to me that on a continual basis I'm going to devote myself to it? You know, I've got this little black book down here in my black bag that I write down prayer requests that are shared on Sunday and on Wednesday. But what I do with those in my life now? Are they before me? Do I lift you guys up on a continual basis? Do I go before my Father and adore Him? Am I devoted to doing that on a continual basis? Or do I just praise the Lord when I come here? What is my prayer life like? In the early church, they continually devoted themselves to prayer. Verse 43, the fifth thing. I like the way the New American Standard translates this. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Awe. Every morning when I get up, I should be filled with a sense of awe at who my Creator really is. And despite who I am, He let me live another day. Despite who I am, God allowed me to get up this morning. Am I filled with awe? Has fear come upon me that I realize where I stand before the Holy God? The early church did. The early church did. Number six. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who believed were together. They were together. Who do we spend time with? Who do we spend time with? Is it other believers? Or do we just do that when we're here? We get in our car, we leave. We're not with any other believers except our family until we come back here again. But they were all together. They were on the same page. They were on the same page. Number seven, they had all things in common. They had all things in common. When the Lord blesses us with something, and many people think, unbelievers of course, that with this early church was kind of like a socialistic state. That, yeah, it was okay to own things, but you know, you just we're going to take from you and give it to this person because they need it. Some people think the early church was communist. You know, nobody owned anything. And that's not true. It wasn't communistic. It wasn't socialistic. It was Christ-like. And the way they looked at it, God has blessed me with this. And if someone has a need, I can do what needs to be done with what I have to help someone else. And because they believe that we have things in common, number 8, verse 45, they begin selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Is my faith to the point where if someone among you had a great need, I would start selling what I own to help you take care of that? Would I? That's what they did. We live in a very materialistic society. We probably have one half of one room in our house more than most of the people in this early church had in their entire house. We have so much. They didn't have near what we have. But yet, if someone had near, we're willing to part with it. Meant that much to them. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all. Am I willing to do that to help you guys out? Verse 46, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. We need to understand there were not church buildings, sanctuaries at this time in the history of the church. They gathered at the temple. And we need to get a picture in our minds of just how big the temple was. You had the actual temple where the sacrifices were made. One day in the year, the high priest went in the Day of Atonement. You had that particular part of the temple. But it was a very, very small part. Herod just kept building and building and building and building. The temple grounds themselves were the size of several football fields. It was huge. So, could 3,120 people possibly gathered at the same time in the temple? In the courts, they could have. It was that big. But day by day, every day, they continued with one mind in the temple. As we continue through Acts, we're going to see the works that the Lord did in the temple. And we're going to see how it eventually got to the point where the Jewish authorities were like, well, wait a minute. We got to do something about this. Do we really want these people in the temple anymore? And of course, we know that in AD 70, the temple was gone. It was destroyed. So they could no longer go to the temple. They were meeting in the homes. And eventually, they established churches like we have here. But day by day, they continued with one mind in the temple. In Geneva, during the Reformation, Calvin's church met every day. Calvin preached two sermons on Sunday. at what all the other days of the week. So he some weeks he would preach eight sermons, because they had church every single day. We had church 2 days, Sunday and Wednesday. The tenth thing the early church did, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were glad. They were generous. And each day, some of them would gather together in the homes of the believers. Do we do that? Maybe occasionally, maybe a little bit. This church, they fellowship together every single day. All of them, some of them, day by day, they broke bread from house to house. And I love that phrase, they received their food. Taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. What a joy it is. What a joy it is when we as believers get together in our homes and fellowship. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. The 11th thing they did, verse 47, day by day, praising God. How many days go by in my life when I have not praised my Father for anything? How many days go by in my life when I don't even praise my Father for anything? Day by day. Day by day, that body of believers praise God. Not just on the Sabbath, not just in the middle of the week, but day by day, they praise. We have many opportunities throughout the course of the day to praise Him. You know, we can praise God with our faults. We don't have to open our mouth. We can just think about who God really is. And our mind can just burst open with praise and adoration of Him. I don't have to open my mouth. I just think of how poor and wretched I am. And how great and marvelous He is. And I go to my mouth, and I can praise Him. I can burst out in song. I used to do it more in days past than I do now. But I can burst out in song on the way to work, on the way home from work, praising Him day by day. The 12th thing the early church did, day by day, having favor with all the people. In 2016, we as the church have favor with few people. It's a travesty. They have favor with all people, not just other believers. Favor with all people. I remember the song written in the late 60s, and we used to sing it quite often. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored and they'll know. They will know, the world will know, that we are Christians. How? By our love. They don't know we're a Christian, but whether or not I wear a cross. Everybody wears a cross these days. They don't know that I'm a Christian by the bumper stickers on my car. They won't know that I'm a Christian because they know I was in this place on Sunday morning. They will know I'm a Christian by my love. Do I show that? Do I love? If I want people to know that I'm a Christian, the old phrase, you gotta walk the talk. They will see in my life His love manifest in me as it comes out. And as I love you guys, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Many things can take place in the body of believers that are quite contrary to these 12 things we've just looked at. We can get so caught up in the movements of men. There's quite a few out there now. They have really good points. But look at them closely. Anytime a movement, even though on the surface it may look really, really good, it may look really, really scriptural, it may look really, really spiritual, and we embrace it. But how does it stack up to the Word? Is it a movement of a man? Is it a movement of a man? Or is it a movement that just flows from the Scriptures? And some things that we can get involved in, you know, they can quote Scripture to back up their position, but they don't quote Scripture to back up their entire position. And it can be deceiving. And we fall for it. We fall for it. And when we follow after the movements of men, we have a tendency to start judging others because they don't do the same thing. And we are so guilty. We are so guilty. Everything should flow from the Scriptures. Everything should flow from the Scriptures. When we gather as this body of believers, sola scriptura, on Scripture alone, creeds, confessions are important because they distill what we believe as a body of believers, as a fellowship, into something that you can read. We have our 1689 confession. To become a member of this church, you have to be a believer. You have to be a believer. But that 1689 confession, is us. And you have churches that they say, well, we believe the Bible. Well, great. That's good. You should. But if you don't have something written down and written out that defines what you believe, then anything can happen. Anything 2016, you have so many churches, you have so many denominations, they don't even know what they believe. Oh, we believe the Bible. Okay. What do you believe about baptism? What do you believe about marriage? We have certain things that define who we are as a church. We have things that we can dwell on. We can harbor bitter feelings about. When this church was founded, 1995, I'm not sure the exact charter date, but this building was built like 1995, 1996. We put a sign out. And on that side, we have two rooms. Now, it was very important to the founding members of this church to put those two rooms on that side. I'm okay if we don't have two rooms on that side. I'm okay if we do have two rooms on that side. Do I think we need to have two rooms on that side? Yes. Why? Not because of me. But the people that established this church, that was important to them. It defined who they were. And the two, 5 points of Calvinism. We can get so caught up in being Calvinistic that we can lose sight of what it really means to be Calvinistic. And we take that word Calvinism and we apply it to what some people say is a belief system. I don't tell people I'm Calvinist. I tell them I'm Reformed. Calvinism is scriptural. But we tend to take his name and apply it to that. And that's, say, oh, you're Calvinistic. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because that's what the scriptures say. That's what the scriptures say. We can also, and our time is running out, and we could spend weeks on these things. But we also get into these little petty arguments amongst ourselves. And these little petty arguments that we have, they affect us all. And when we walk through those doors, to come in this place, to fellowship together, and more important than that, to worship together, we need to leave all that baggage outside the front door. We don't need to be bringing it in here. We need to love each other. We're not perfect. None of us are. And we're going to have our disagreements. But let's settle our disagreements in the Spirit of Christ. Let's settle our squabbles in the Spirit of Christ. We don't have to let them simmer and grow and fester. And before you know it, we're literally mad at each other. And it's almost always one of the stupidest things. I'm old enough. I've been in the church long enough. I know. And we all have our differences. They had their differences in the early church. They weren't all of the same occupation. They weren't all of the same social situation. Some of them were wealthy. Some of them were dirt poor. Some of them were farmers. Some of them were fishermen. But look at what happened among them. Look at what happened among them. And we're going to see in a couple of chapters, they had problems that they had to deal with. Major problems that they had to deal with. Just just like we do. Just like we do. And I joke with Pastor Little, he's the shepherd, and we're unruly. We're unruly sheep. And we are. We are. And we need to be lifting this man up every day because he has to put up with us on a weekly basis. I'm sure he gets the phone call and you know, it's like, oh, they'll know we're Christians by our love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. The world wants us to argue and squabble and to get bent out of shape over this and be upset about that. Be mad at this person. You know, you don't have to like everything about somebody, but you have to love. That's what we're commanded to do. Second half of verse 47. And what happens? We do these things. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day. Those who were being saved. The Spirit was at work in that early church. And daily, the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. The world was changed. The world was changed in the first century. Hasn't been the same since. This band of believers, the early church, changed the world. Why? They were salt and they were light. We need to be salt. Read these verses. Read them over and over and over again. Is this us? Would this describe our little body of believers? And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. And day by day continued with one mind in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And may this be written about us. Let's pray. O Spirit of the living God, find us together in the love of Christ. And may we, in this little valley, shake this whole area because what Christ is doing among us. And may those around us see the love that we have for each other and grow that love, that they would know we are Christians. know Christ. We do rejoice on this resurrection day. Because apart from you, we have no hope. Apart from you, we have nothing. And we proclaim this morning, the rest of this day, we proclaim every day with the angel at the tomb. He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. To the Lamb that was slain. Amen.